Good evening. Hello, beloved. We love you. My name is Greg Stevens, and welcome to your home group. This is our Bible study that we have on Wednesday night, and we invite you to be part of that. And how do I be part of it? How am I part of that? Well, you're part of that because you, if you're watching us on Facebook, you can type in your comments and your questions. If you want to text them, you can do 682-302-1301. Wait, that was fast. Text them to 682-302-1301 or ask home group at govictory.com. I want to welcome everyone to being with us. Thank you. And the prayer line will be up throughout the night. Let me introduce you to a really wonderful group of people. To my right is my beautiful bride, Michelle.
Hello.
And Annette Taylor is with us. Hello, Annette.
Hello.
And then Pastor Dwayne, we've met you before. You've been with us, and my buddy, my friend.
Yes.
But your wife, why don't you introduce her?
My wife of nearly, 19 years 19. This year, mm-hmm. This is Nicole Munoz.
Hello.
Nicole,
yay.
I'm so glad.
Yay. Very glad you're here.
I'm so glad
you're
here.
Thank you.
So now you pastored. I want to set this up for you because tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we may be doing this for a couple of weeks. You pastored, you were a senior pastor, and now you teach at Kenneth Copeland Bible College, senior associate pastor here. How long were you guys pastors?
Well, I pastored just a little over 14 years. I started pastoring before Nicole came into the picture.
I was in the picture for 12.
Yeah, so 12 of those mm-hmm. years.
So, and you were here in Texas?
Here in Texas, yes.
Local.
Fort Worth. Yeah.
So we pastored in Southern California, San Diego, California.
Yes.
14 years before that was with Brother Hagin, had that privilege. Now you've been leading Bible studies even now, Annette. Tell me about that.
Well, when my husband passed away, I just needed to do something.
Yeah.
So I knew some ex-offenders. I knew a home where they were going, and I thought, I think I'll go down there and see if I can be a part of that. So I went down and started teaching those ex-offenders and really
loved
them.
Now, how long ago was that?
That's been 11 years.
So you've been weekly doing a, mm-hmm. a Bible study mm-hmm. for 11 years.
Yeah. And, of course, before then, I did ladies' meetings and ladies' Bible studies. And, of course, I've been a minister for the ministry for 40 years. So I've had some experience, and you get to thinking, why just sit here till you die? Go do something.
I like that. That's a good word for somebody tonight. Go do something. Annette says go do something.
Well, yes. I mean, I was doing something, yeah. but there was these hungry people, because, see, my family was sort of, they weren't in jail, most of them. But you just got to know.
Not currently.
So I really had a heart to just
to help.
Sit with them
sure.
and say, look, do you want this you're, to you know be what, your life
You know what you're
time?
Doing? You're discipling them.
I was discipling them.
And that's what we're endeavoring to do with you through television and the internet. I'm going to get to Pastor Dwayne here in a second because you teach Holy Spirit to Bible college students.
Yes.
Is there confusion with some students when they come in?
I could say there's some confusion, but I think it's more along the lines of different beliefs. When they come into, so it's when I say it's confusion. I think when they are taught from whatever background they're from or whatever their background is, whatever denomination they came from, which we do have that come here to Kenneth Copeland Bible College. You know, they come from different walks of whatever they were taught, whatever Grandma Sadie told them. You know, and that's the way they always did it. Mm-hmm. So when they come here and when they see the print, the printed word, and when we look at that, then they start, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. It's amazing how much we get that, you and I. I
Out
didn't
tradition.
Know that. Yeah.
Jesus mm-hmm. told the Pharisees, your traditions are what you deny the power.
Yes.
You don't know the word. And so what we're doing tonight and every night on Home Group is not giving you our opinion, but actually having a Bible study, what the word says. And what I left out one while ago, we're going to have a clip or two from Brother Copeland, and he's got 53 plus years. So all together, we're over 100 and something there. Okay, so what do I need to know about the Holy Spirit? First of all, The Holy Spirit's not an it, it's a he. He's invisible to our natural senses, but he's real. He's often confused with the manifestations that you see of the Holy Spirit rather than who he is. You understand this, he's a person. Being a person, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has feelings. He can become sad or angry, and others can insult him and blaspheme against him. He has intentions, shows his willfulness and discretion. He loves, he communicates, he testifies, he teaches, and he even prays through us. These are qualities that distinguish him as a person. The Holy Spirit was present during every stage of Jesus Christ's life, and Jesus put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit. He was the subject of intense prayer. He said this in John chapter 14, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth." Notice it doesn't say it is. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him.
Right.
But you know him because he remains. Now listen to this phrase. He remains with you and will be in you. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite parts. He remains and he'll be with me. In order to receive the power of God, one doesn't need a religious formula, but rather a relationship with a person. I'll put it this way in farmer terms. When a farmer grows crops, his desire is to receive the fruit of the crops. You don't grow a watermelon plant and not want to have watermelons. That's why you planted a watermelon plant. But it's his relationship. The farmer has a relationship with the plant in order to get the fruit. It's the plant that the farmer sows, waters, and takes care of, even though he's waiting for the fruit. He knows that without the plant, there'll be no fruit. And that's where we are. We have Jesus, and therefore we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Duane, here's a thing I hear a lot about, and I want to play a clip from Brother Copeland concerning this. Do you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit?
Do you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit?
I mean, how do you know you have the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian?
Because the evidence is in the speaking in tongues. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the initial evidence.
Okay, so when was I filled? When did I become filled with the Holy Spirit?
When you receive him.
Okay.
See, there's a difference. So we have to go back to understanding. This is where we have to kind of dissect a little bit more, because people think, well, when I got saved, I thought I had the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so teach us. Mm-hmm.
Well, they think, well, I have all the Holy Spirit that I need.
Okay.
I have it all. But if we look in Scripture, we realize that person can be saved, but yet still be filled. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that in Scripture. If you look over, if I can, over in Acts chapter 8.
It's yours. The floor is yours.
If we look at Acts chapter 8, think about Philip, who was an evangelist. Mm-hmm. He's in Samaria. He's preaching the word, the Bible tells us in chapter 5, in verse 5, he said he preached Christ unto them. And when he preached Christ unto them, they all in one accord gave heed to what he was saying, and they saw miracles, and they saw miracles which he did. There were people that were delivered, set free. They said they were healed. And verse 8 says there was great joy in the city. All right? But this is the clincher here. Here they are. They received the word. They received it with joy.
He preached Christ. That goes to the farmer with the plant. That's the plant.
Yes. So now, if you look to see what's going on here, if you look at verse, let's pick up here in verse 12, right here, they believed, Philip preaching, here's the evangelist preaching the word, preaching Christ, and things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. This is not baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is baptized in water. Mm-hmm. They're baptized because if you look at that word baptizo, it comes to dip or submerge. Mm-hmm. So that we know that is water baptism, both men and women. And then if you jump over to verse 14, here's where we have to understand.
Okay.
You can be saved. You have the Spirit, yes, but this is being filled with the Spirit because they were already saved, Greg. And verse 14, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. For what purpose? Why? So that they might receive the Holy Ghost. This is a different, this is something else in addition to. Mm-hmm. So that's where we have to, you know, the misunderstanding is, well, I got saved. I have all the Holy Spirit that I need, that I have. Well, that's, you have the Holy Spirit. You know, we are sons of God. But this here, what we're talking about.
When you accepted Jesus, you became a new creation. You
right.
never existed before. Your right. spirit man became alive. Yeah. Is that right? Because you
right.
do that. You teach yeah. that to
yeah. Yeah. You,
when offenders.
When you heard the gospel preached and it bore witness with your heart and you said something, you were born again by the Holy Spirit. It was
when
the
you confessed
Holy
him.
Spirit. You, if you will, if you hear the gospel preached and you will say with your mouth, believe in your heart, say with your mouth, you shall be saved by the Holy Spirit. He's in you, never going to leave you. If you tried to make your bed in hell, he still would not leave you. And that's good news
that
to some
good
people.
That is news. That's
but that's
news.
What the scripture says. I don't know where it is, but it's in
yeah, that's, okay. That's all right. That's all right. I want to come back to what yeah. you're saying. Let me play right now. I clipped by Brother Copeland. I think it goes exactly to what you're saying. God's faith was put in you when you were born again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That
yes.
faith recreated your spirit being, and that's when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Jesus never did a miracle until after the Holy Spirit had come upon him. Here's Kenneth Copeland. We'll be right back.
Have the faith of God. So it's God's faith, and it was put into you when you were born again. That was when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God, by the grace of God, gave you His faith from the seed of the Word of God from which you were born again, not of corruptible seed, by the Word of God. And that faith then recreated your spirit being. That's when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. Now, Jesus said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So there is the Holy Spirit within because you're born of the Spirit, glory to God. You're born from above. You're born of His Word. And He is in there as your teacher, your guide. And at that time, the nine fruit of the Spirit were born into your human spirit when it was born again. But then the Holy Spirit comes upon you for service. Jesus said, you remember, you know Jesus born of the Spirit of God. I mean, He was of the Spirit of God beyond time. Amen. He and the Father are one, His Son. But in the Jordan River, He was baptized with the Holy Spirit, with water and with the Holy Spirit. And He said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He never did one miracle. He lived by faith, but He never did a miracle of any kind anywhere until after He was baptized with the Holy Spirit for service. Amen. I want you to see that.
Okay, now I like that. The Holy Spirit, He baptized Him for service. When Jesus went and was baptized in water, that's exactly what you were talking about, Pastor Duane, a while ago. Then they sent John to them for, I call it Jesus' baptism. John's baptism was with the water.
Water.
Jesus' baptism is not. It's different.
It's different.
So now we want you to be part of this. So they're going to put the information back up there again, how you can be part. Ask homegroup at govictory.com, or you can text a response field on Facebook. Just type it in, and it's right here with me. Go ahead.
Well, to look more into the scripture, when we see that the initial born-again experience, all right, you have the Holy Spirit, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we look back in the scripture here in Acts chapter 8, it said they believed.
Yeah.
They believed.
Okay.
But yet the apostles saw and they sent them, these two men to come and lay hands on them. And for what purpose? If you look here in the next part in verse 14, the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard of Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Notice it didn't. God didn't give the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost was already given.
Receive it.
Yeah.
That's why in my opening statement, I said it's by grace that it might be by faith.
Right.
You believe, but you receive.
Right. They had to receive. And it's very interesting here, the believing came first, then the receiving came after.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
That's the way it works.
Well, with salvation, right? Because faith, that faith deposit is made in you at salvation.
Yes.
But it's faith for salvation and faith, the same faith, to receive the Holy Spirit.
But notice it, you can jump into faith on this part because it has a very important part in it. Because faith, because of the same way we believe for our healing, the same way we believe for financial prosperity, the same faith that we use to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
We don't, and there's so many people trying to get the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What are they trying to get? He's already been given.
So you have Him when you're born again.
Yes.
But you haven't received. I'm trying to simplify.
That power, because we can go back over to Acts chapter 1.
Yes.
Where he tells us why. He says Jesus gave them specific instructions. And then he said, let's just look here real quick, because I underlined
you shall be
something.
Witnesses. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, but two things that he says. He says, you shall receive power.
After that.
And you shall be witnesses.
Yes.
Two different things. Right. That these components are really, notice that it comes after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is, the Holy Spirit was given for the church.
Yes, praise God.
It is a gift.
That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
Verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Witnesses.
Okay. So Jesus talks in those last chapters of John about love.
Yes.
You'll know that my disciples in your love, and he's talking to disciples when he says this in Acts chapter 1. Love is a distinguishing mark of a disciple, while being a witness. Can I say this? Does this work? A witness distinguishes those who are full of the Spirit. I can't be a witness without that, can I? I mean, fully effectively?
To be a witness, it really works to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it empowers you.
Because that's the evidence. That's the evidence of the change in me, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
Because He'll give me power
to be a witness.
I like that.
What? A witness of the gospel. A witness of the now in Christ message. You're in Christ now.
Right.
Okay.
You're not your own.
You're not your own.
Right.
And
so when it talks about the power, Jesus didn't do a single miracle or anything until he was filled with the Holy Spirit.
And it really enabled you to live a fully committed life if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how most of us make it in difficult places.
Amen.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit, because you get out of yourself into Him.
Amen.
And I had to do that many, many times. And still today, have to do
it. Yes.
You have to get out of your... I don't want to confuse anybody by saying get out of yourself. Get out of your old way of thinking and get into His
way of
thinking.
That you're relying on Him.
You
can not
put
on your
mind. First of all, you got to get this mind renewed to this word.
That's why we're studying this.
Yeah.
Right? Because I find it here, 2020 years after thereabouts, the Holy Spirit was released and sent into the earth, not just coming upon somebody like in the Old Testament or the First Testament. There's still confusion with so many. I'm looking at your comments tonight in this. But when were you filled with the Spirit? I mean, when you're born again, I mean, were you confused by this? Or?
Everything I learned from my husband. I got saved 3 days before I met him, so I didn't know anything. But I was saved, and I knew I needed to find a church. So when I met him, I went to the church, and then he started talking about being filled with the Spirit. And I don't remember you going, or if he did, I didn't get the fullness of what it meant to be filled with the Spirit. But
Jesus
he said you need it. So I said, okay.
So I was doing an altar call, and I said, what are you up here for? She goes, you said we all need the Holy Spirit, so I'm here to receive.
Something.
So she did, and then instantly got filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's that childlike faith.
It was wonderful.
I love that.
She didn't have to unlearn
anything. No, she didn't.
No. Yes.
Right. I had to unlearn a whole lot.
But,
you know, there's a lot of people, even in my own family, that go to a different denomination church that I don't believe are Spirit-filled, and they don't know that they need to be Spirit-filled. They don't know what they're missing.
Well, because it goes back to traditions of men, which you're talking about.
All right.
This is what we have to unravel a lot of times and just take them straight to the Word of God. What does the Word say?
That's
if you
what we're
knew, doing. Why would you go without Him? You know, there's no way.
You opened up with the scripture in John, the 14th chapter. Yes. You said, and the Father, I will pray the Father, and this is Jesus speaking.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Jesus is talking.
Yes.
And He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you for a short time.
No.
Forever.
Forever.
Forever. But then here he says, even, and look what he calls him, even the Spirit of truth. Mm. You know, the word tells us, and it was in the Psalms, it says the entrance of that word brings light.
Yes.
Well, the Holy Spirit is that is the one that's flashing the light, the flashlight for us.
Yes.
And he opens it up. You can jump over to the 16th chapter. And this, I mean, Jesus talks a lot.
He spends a lot of time.
I'm going to send him.
Yeah.
Well, it's, don't you say that it's the, before somebody dies, they always talk about the most important things that they want to leave behind. And this is what Jesus did.
Yes.
The most important things that you needed to know, that you need to know, is right there before he ascends to heaven.
Yeah.
And the most important thing was not just you need to be saved, but the Holy Spirit, I'm not leaving you comfortless.
Oh, praise God. Because he said there was a lot he still had to share with them, but they couldn't take it at that time.
They couldn't.
Why couldn't they take it, Dwayne?
It was so, can you imagine?
Just the emotion
just
of it all.
The all that they were stepping into and all that he has. I mean, think about, the scripture tells us in John, they said if we were to write everything out that Jesus had accomplished, that the world would not, wouldn't be enough room in the world to contain all the books. Mm-hmm. So then here, think about this, all the information that we would want to ever know about the majesty of who he is. He tells us here in verse 13 of John chapter 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, once again, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And then he reveals it here. He says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's, if you wanted to know everything, I mean, talk about the fullness.
So he's like a guide, really, isn't he? Like a tour guide.
Pastor George referred to him as our tour guide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Expound on that.
Because we have, we are always being led by the Spirit. We should be led by the Spirit. Yeah. The number one way that he leads us is by that inward witness.
Yeah.
They know the world calls it that intuition or that gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, that's how the Spirit of God leads us. I give this demonstration in my class where I talked about my brother. You know, my brother and I, he's much shorter than I am. And when we were growing up in grade school, we would walk home from school and I would put my hand behind his neck. And it was just because I was so tall and I put my hand in his neck and I would guide him where I wanted him to go. He hated it. But I used that example because the Lord showed me, he says, if you will just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he guides you in the same way.
Yeah, he's leading.
He's leading you.
We've taken many tours to Israel and our guide will always say, okay, our next stop, we're off schedule. So our next stop is not the place to go to the restroom. Go now or wait. And he's telling you where the next blessed place is. This is not a good shop place. The next place we go to has a good shop place. So let's move here. And what's he doing? He's guiding us.
Yes.
Because he knows the shortcuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's been here for a long
time. He's been here.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
He's been here for a long time. And and he can be at all places. We talk about the there's no distance in the Spirit of God. He's everywhere. He can be at all places. He can be with you and at the same time.
His body is so big.
Yeah.
He's in his body, the body of believers.
Yes.
He's not in unbelievers. He's in believers.
Yes.
And so the body of Christ is big, but so much of the body of Christ don't understand the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit. A lot don't understand.
And the fruit.
Mm-hmm. I know Brother Hagin used to talk about, it's not here, it's from here.
Right.
Yes.
And it's never going to be a shove.
No.
It's a guiding. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to do clip four with Brother Copeland, because a lot of the questions that you've, and I've got them right here, and I see them. I'm not ignoring you. A lot of them that are coming in, guys, are there's still confusion over speaking in tongues. I'm filled with the Spirit. I've never spoken in tongues. I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, first of all, I'll say this. You've got your focus on you mm-hmm. and not on him. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at the plant. I want to play this clip from you, from being baptized in the Holy Spirit, from Kenneth Copeland. When Jesus met the disciples in the upper room, now here's the thing. He breathed on them the Spirit. They were born again. Brother Copeland explains what being born again is and how to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Later, that same group of people will be baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They received the Holy Spirit before, and then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, here's Brother Copeland.
But then he came back the same day in the evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had thus said, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Why? To preach the gospel. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, did they receive the Holy Ghost? Yes, they did. They didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They received that on the day of Pentecost. He told them, Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. You'll receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you. All right. So what happened? They were born again. Amen. Now, what are the prerequisites of being born again? Jesus had to go to the cross, go to hell, pay the price, be raised from the dead, go to the Father. Amen. And he did all that and came back. And then you have to believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead. Well, they certainly believed that. They had and confess him as Lord. They'd already confessed him as Lord. Amen. What about the two disciples that were on the way to Emmaus? They were walking along there, and Jesus walked up to them. And they said, haven't you heard about what happened in Jerusalem? They crucified him and all that. And then he began to expound to them out of the First Testament, the First Covenant. And he began to talk to them from Moses. He began to talk to them and about himself, see. Oh, and they said later, didn't our hearts burn in us? What was happening? They getting born again because they got the word on it. And when they sat down to supper, and he prayed over the food, and they recognized him. Glory to God! Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Well, their heart was burning with the Word of God. What happened? They got born again. Did they receive the Holy Ghost? Well, certainly you can't get the Holy Ghost. You can't get born again without the Holy Ghost. That's the infilling. That is the Holy Spirit within. Now, listen to me carefully here. On the day of Pentecost, all of them had been born again. He appeared in one place to 500 at once. He appeared to all of those 120 that were in that upper room. All of them. All of them believed in their heart that he'd been raised from the dead, and they'd already confessed him as Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
Okay, so they received the Holy Spirit, then they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is after Jesus left. The Holy Spirit of God was inhabiting the earth again, now in us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that sound of that rushing mighty wind was all the angels of God. They couldn't be here. because the earth had been given over. They came rushing back into this planet. Mm. And cloven tongues like as a fire. Now, fire didn't set on their head, but that's what it was like. And they received power. You know, just a few days before that, Peter is denying Jesus, and he's going to go stand on the street and preach, and 3,000 people are going to get born again
that
day.
Right. That's right.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit in him.
That dunamis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so a lot of questions are coming in. Man, it's just so many of them. And a lot of you are, do I have to speak in tongues? Or I know I'm saved and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I've never spoken in tongues. And so it goes back to what I've said at the very beginning, guys. A lot of people, from what I'm reading in your comments, have confused manifestations of the Spirit with being the Spirit. But the Spirit is a part of the Godhead that's in me. Never leave you. I have a testimony. I was in the Air Force. I walked away from church. Dwayne, I walked away from God. My dog tags hanging around my neck said no religious affiliation. Mm. I said, no, I don't want Catholic, Protestant. I don't want anything on there. And I denied him over and over and over and over. Now, the way we grew up, I'm not saved. Right?
Right.
You blaspheme.
I'm blaspheming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm laying there trying to shoot expert marksmen, and I look down the range, and I can't see anything. And I was laying on my belly, and I said, oh, God, help. That's all I said. And I didn't mean it as a prayer. The next thing that came out of my mouth, I spoke in tongues.
Wow.
Now, I'd been filled with the Spirit at 13, and it freaked me out. Mm-hmm. I shot expert, by the way. Freaked me out.
Wow. Praise God.
And here's why. He didn't leave me.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't leave you.
It doesn't count it against you.
Right.
Well, he's just so been good. Lying there dormant in me. Good. Is that right?
Well, he's a gentleman.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a gentleman. He doesn't force his way. And that's the thing. We hear, and some of the comments are saying, well, I don't speak in tongues. Well, I this is one thing that I hear, even I'm sure y'all heard as pastors, you know, well, I'll speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit makes me speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, he won't.
So do I have to speak in tongues? I mean...
Okay, well, let's go back and kind of figure this out here. Do you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved? The answer is no. I mean, because you have to know Jesus. You have to receive Jesus,
right?
To be saved. Remember, we saw that in Acts chapter 8. The people of Samaria believed. They were healed. Mm-hmm. They received the word all in one accord. But they sent forth for those two apostles to come and to minister, lay hands on them so that they might receive the Holy Ghost. What was the purpose of that? Well, you can read on and you can see what happens after that. It goes right back to Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. There was a purpose for the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about this. He says so that we would have power and so that we would be witnesses.
Yes.
And the thing we have to understand is if you want to have that power... That and what you just said, he's there all the time.
The ability.
The ability. Mm-hmm.
His abilities.
The in Acts, that the word gift, there is an endowment. You want to have that endowment of that power.
Yeah.
That's through the Holy Spirit to go and accomplish what the church was called to do. And praise God, we have a mission in front of us.
Yeah. Now, you've had Bible college students come here that are born again. They're going to Bible mm-hmm. school. But they've never really received the Holy Spirit, like you're talking about with tongues, right?
We had a couple. We had a couple. It wasn't actually in my class, but it was in another class that they started talking about the Holy Spirit, and we had found out that two of them, even though they said yes, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, they got evidence of speaking in tongues in a class.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, God.
Faith was there.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They saw the word. They saw, and that word ignited that faith in them. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
Okay, so you have a lot of questions on here tonight about people that say, I'm born again, but I, for whatever reason, they can't speak in tongues. So is that what you're addressing right now?
Well, when you think about when they say the words, I can't.
Okay.
All right. Why are they saying, I can't speak in tongues?
Well, this one says, I have a hard time speaking in tongues.
Got to practice it.
It's true.
You got to really
get better.
So it's by faith, isn't it? Is it by faith?
It's all
the same way you got saved.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes.
And you may don't. You may only get one word, and of course you're going to doubt if you were filled with the Holy
Spirit. That's right.
Because when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was so taught against it. I was waiting on God to knock me off my horse, I guess. But what when I got filled with, I was so in love with God, I thought, I have got to have this Holy Ghost. I don't know how to get this Holy Ghost, but I'm going to stay with this till I get it. So I just start saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And I'm telling you, that word kept resonating in me. And I'm thinking, I knew something happened on the inside of me. Mm-hmm. And so then they say, okay, just keep practicing what you get. So I said it. I don't know how long I said it, but words come. But see, if you listen to people that have a tongue and they're in it, you can just koshala moshokoro brosa. Then you think, I don't have anything. I just have one word. Mm-hmm. Stay with that word.
I started out with one syllable.
That's what I started with. Well, let me ask you this one, because
there's several that are like this, and this is why I'm going to this, and I'm just going to read it to you. It's a text message. I ask Jesus into my heart, and I can never comprehend speaking in tongues. Am I a Christian?
Absolutely.
You are a Christian.
Yes.
You are a Christian. You know, I was doing some study on this. I think we all were. Just so we can make sure that we wanted to make sure we, first of all, before we came in to the studio tonight, we were praying for those individuals that do not know, or the ones that just had those questions, that they would have their answers tonight. And I'm speaking that by faith that we will say the right thing and the right for them to hear it. All right, but Brother Hagin said this. He goes, many have been robbed of the blessing God has for them by believing that speaking in tongues isn't for everybody, or that it's one of the lesser gifts. No, it's not one of the lesser gifts. It's the gift. It's the gift. And we can look in Scripture. We look over in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 8 to right after that, in verse 8 to 12, where he says, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But then he tells us here, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. What he's telling here, the Spirit of God, you know, the Word of God is perfect. Mm-hmm. We're imperfect. We're perfect in Him.
Yeah.
And we can understand. Yeah. We can understand part. But when you have the Holy Spirit, He reveals the truth. Remember, He's the Spirit of truth. We no longer have to see partly. We can see through the very eyes of God. And praying in tongues helps us with that.
Yes, it does.
To understand.
If you're trying to understand this with your mind, with your natural mind, it doesn't make a lick of sense.
Okay, so you just read that verse, and there's some of you have asked that tonight. It says tongues will cease. And so I had several on here tonight saying that they have ceased, that's not for today.
Mm-mm. No, that's not what he's saying here.
So are they misreading that verse?
Misreading that. Yeah. Not tongues will cease, because he talked about love right before that.
When the end comes.
Yeah.
Well, when that which is perfect is coming. What is he talking about? When Jesus comes back into this earth. Is what? Because that went away, and somebody wrote in just a second ago, it went away with the death of the last apostle. Well, then I'm going to refer you to Hebrews, where it talks about Jesus Christ, the apostle.
Right.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
Right? So is that what that's referring to? That
We cannot even dare to think that we will know all this and the revelation of His Word without the help
That's right.
Of the Holy
that's
Spirit.
Right.
That's just nonsense. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, and then that's when I was, I think I shared with you the Passion Translation of 1 Corinthians 2:14. It said, someone living on entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
By the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Trying to understand yes. this with the natural thinking and the way you
right.
were taught.
You need him. You need the Holy Spirit.
You know, you said something about being done away with. Well, we read a moment ago in John 14, 16 mm-hmm. and 17 about he would give you another comforter.
Yep.
All right. That was the promise.
That's right.
That was
That's
the promise
exactly right.
of the gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now look at the fulfillment in Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33. This is Jesus. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, all right, Jesus, he's exalted, right, the right hand of God, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. We received it. This was spoken right after they received the Holy Ghost. Well, if it was done away with, then why
would you not receive something Jesus is wanting to give you?
Why would you
right.
reject it?
Right. Yeah.
That's the question. Why would you want to reject
it? It's the enemy. The enemy comes in and makes them think that they don't understand it, or like you're saying, people are writing in saying, "I can't do it," or "How am I supposed to get this?" Because the enemy makes them think it's difficult. It's hard. Right. And it's something mm-hmm. that is unattainable, that you have to be so spiritually mature to get it, but you don't. I got it as a baby Christian, only saved for maybe a month and a half.
Right.
You know, the Word of God tells us it's people perish for a lack of
knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, because they say, well, I can't speak, or I haven't been able to do it. Once again, look at the pronoun, I. I can't. It's the same as, well, I can't believe in prosperity because I don't have, $1 million in my bank. Well, that's foolish. All right. Foolishness. Oh, I'm not healed because I still have this. Well, you're the one that's saying it. You're declaring it. I don't have, and I can't receive, and I can't do this. Mm-hmm. You're making that declaration, and really it's fear-based.
Yeah.
It's fear-based. You know, Keith Moore, I love when he said, I tried the Word and it didn't work. And he says, you bunch of liars. He goes, the Word tried you and you didn't work.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Well, it says when he comes, he's going to guide you into truth.
Yeah.
He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So why don't stay with it till you get it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I'm a firm believer. Just stay with something till you get it. People think, well, you may not get it Saturday night, but stay with it till you get it. Keep believing God. Keep looking in here. The Lord, I desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You said you're going to guide me into all truth,
yes. And
I want that truth. So I'm going to stay with this Holy Spirit till it becomes alive on the inside of me. He's going to show me what to do. Not up here. He doesn't operate. Do you take this information in through your mm-hmm. soulish realm? But you have to look inside
so
you.
So it says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That we are the sons
of God.
Yeah. And you know you're born again because most of these people, I'm sure they know they're born again.
Right there. Yeah.
Are they just confused on being filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? Well,
so I can go to Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go to heaven without speaking in tongues?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Here's something for them to think about, for you to think about. All right. If you can accept salvation, I'm saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
You don't doubt your salvation. You don't doubt, we believe the scripture, 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have over. Greater is he that is in you
yes.
than he that is in the world. We can believe those scriptures. We stand on those scriptures. Man, we'll preach them from the pulpits. We'll stand and we'll tell everybody, no, this is what the Word of God said. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we all want to just kind of quiet down because... Why? And you said something a little bit ago, Michelle, that really was strong. You said, why would the enemy work so hard in trying to bring confusion over something that's so important to the body of Christ to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Jesus, in Jesus' own ministry, he did know none of those things without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
How much, then who are we, right? We're not, we are born as born again believers. We're now in Christ. Then we too need the Holy Spirit to do the works of the ministry.
Yes.
And so we have to depend on him. He's not just one facet. He's not just one thing. He's many things.
Yes.
He's a teacher. Mm-hmm. He's a guide. He's a comforter.
He is everything you need.
He is everything that you need for every good work here on the earth. Mm-hmm. And I just want to come against that confusion in the name of Jesus, because if that's you writing in, it is you that God is saying, nope, nope, do not believe it. Do not believe the lie. You can receive with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is receive just like you did salvation. Lord, I believe, I receive. Thank you, Father, for the gift mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit and speaking mm-hmm. in other tongues. Mm-hmm. And the minute you receive, I even sense the power of God right now.
Yes.
I sense him now. Just receive right where you are. You don't have to be in church. You can be in your car. You know, we were talking earlier, it's all the traditions that we've learned. It's the lies that we're told by others, that not intentionally even.
Right.
They just were teaching what they knew to teach.
Right.
And we believed that.
Yes.
And so you've got to let go of that. You've got to let go and believe what the Word of God says, mm-hmm. that he gave the Holy Spirit to the church.
Didn't yes. Paul say, have you received since you believed?
Yes.
And you're referring
yes.
to
yeah.
the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. He was referring to that.
To the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's you right now.
Yes.
Then just by faith.
Yes. In the
speak,
name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Say, next, I by faith, I'm going to speak in the Holy
Spirit. Yes.
Yes.
And then
you just go.
Yes.
Listen, we have trained licensed prayer ministers
yes.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
That can help.
They are right yes. now ready for you.
Thank
and
you,
I want to, the numbers on the screen, I want you to give them a call. They will lead you in this. They'll pray with you. In the United States, that number is 877-281-6297. Call them and say, listen, I'm watching Home Group and I want to receive the Holy Spirit and I want that experience. I want him to pray mm-hmm. through me. They'll do that. They will do that with you, and they'll pray with you. Please do that right now. Mm-hmm. 877-281-6297. So many of these that I wanted to get to. Jesus. In Jesus' life, every aspect of his life, matter of fact, let's go beyond that. In creation, the Holy Spirit is
yes.
hovering
He's
over
there.
The earth.
He's been here.
Yeah. He's there.
Yep. Yep.
In the earth, hovering
yes.
over the earth, waiting for a word to be spoken yes. so he can go into action.
He's not a stepbrother.
I like so that. Good. I love that.
I mean, he's not the stepbrother. He's not the ugly child in the corner.
Yes.
He's God.
He's God.
He's
yes.
God.
Yes.
And so Mary, the Holy Spirit, came upon her. Jesus was filled. John, it even says John
yep.
was filled with the Spirit from his mother's yeah. womb.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't say that she spoke in tongues, but mm-hmm. she prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this child in her is yeah. full of the Holy yeah. Ghost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And the child leaped
within her. when Mary and the Messiah in yeah. her.
Is that where she said, there shall be a performance of those things that were told you by the Holy Spirit? I mean, she prophesied that, I believe.
How could she prophesy except...
Something, the Holy Ghost come up on her.
Exactly right.
God.
So, people, I used to complain about, okay, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. So I don't find any record anywhere in Scripture of Jesus speaking in tongues. I used to do that. Lord, show me. And he did. Says that when Jesus sent them out, they came back with the report, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And it says, Jesus rejoiced in spirit.
Mm.
They heard something. They saw wow. something in him
sure did.
That was different
yeah.
yes.
than his normal excitement.
Yeah. Think about Simon the sorcerer was there in Samaria.
Okay.
It tells us that he saw, all right? Well, what did he see so much that he wanted to buy that power? Mm-hmm. He wanted to buy the ability.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was it that he saw?
Manifestations of the Spirit of God.
And you know, some people say, they saw the joy. Well, no, the joy was there when they heard the word.
Yeah.
The joy was there beforehand.
Right.
But it was after that the apostles laid their hands on them and they received, there was that initial evidence. That was the Acts 2:4 experience right there. They were filled and they spoke with in other tongues. That's what Simon saw so much that he said, let me buy this ability so that I can go lay hands.
Do you remember when you were filled with the Spirit and that moment, I can still remember the power that I felt. Your whole body began to respond in the physical. And recently I was on a mission trip and 7 girls who are all raised Baptist were on that mission trip with me. And the Spirit of God, he was available for them all to receive. And 7 girls, and they just were shaken. And they said, I've never sensed God like this. And I thought, that's the power.
The power.
That's the power of God to do all the things He's called you to do. That's the power.
You know, when, because I was raised where you weren't there, you weren't taught there. I won't call them, I was raised Baptist. So anyway, you were taught against it. I got my little counselor, the one that led me to the Lord, that really brought me back into the kingdom, to the fullness of God. She said, Brother Hagin, I didn't know who Brother Hagin was, has a little book on why tongues. Mm-hmm. Get that book. In fact, she got it for me, that old book, Why Tongues. And I read that over and over and over. And I believe that is what really helped me just push on into being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a marvelous little book. It's just
a little mini book.
Still around.
No, it still
tongue.
Is. Yeah.
That could really help you there. So sometimes it's just got to come alive in you. Mm-hmm. So that may help you, that little book.
Yeah. You know, you said that power was evident. Yeah. That power was there. What did the girls do? They didn't have to work for it.
No. Yes. They did not work, and they were just so full of God. I mean, crying, but it wasn't the emotion. It was they sensed a part of God they had never sensed before.
Sensed a love.
They had an overwhelming experience.
Intimacy.
Mm-hmm. That they knew God was present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the comfort.
Yeah.
That's where we're not left alone. Mm-hmm. That's where you get that evidence. That's the evidence. That's the witness.
That's beautiful.
Of that. Mm-hmm. And I just rejoice.
When His Spirit comes in contact with my Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something's got to give, don't it?
Yeah. You know, there's another misunderstanding that, and we've run out of time, but I know another misunderstanding that we catch in the school is that, well, I thought we're supposed to tarry. You know,
well, that's what Jesus told him to do.
But there was a
Pastor
timing.
Dwayne.
It was a timing, right? But I thought this.
Listen, that's what I was taught.
I was taught that too.
I was taught in our denomination. Mm-hmm. You'd have one person over there saying, "Hang on, hold on." Uh-huh. Another person over here saying, "Let go." And I'm like, "I don't know what to do."
Yeah. Well, I was taught you had to be a certain age. But what's that age? Well, I didn't know when I asked the question. Well, what age should it be? Well, the Lord will tell you. Well, that told me they didn't know what they were they were wanting, you know.
Right.
And this was a relative's pastor. but you know, Brother Hagin said this: to teach people to wait for the Holy Ghost is nothing but a combination of works and unbelief. That hit me so hard when I think about
means you had to wait to be saved or wait to be healed.
Right. Or wait, exactly.
Or wait to be prospered.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait till you just, no, there's no waiting. Thus, it's a gift.
And I receive it.
All of it, the fullness of it, when you're ready for it, all at one time.
We had that scripture a moment ago that I saw on the screen. It said if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Ghost?
Imagine being at Christmas time and you have all these gifts and your kids can only open one Oh. No, you can't open the rest. You'll have to tarry for that.
Oh, God.
No. You have to wait.
That is good.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what, and Jesus is saying, no. Open them all.
Open them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Open them all.
That's
all
wonderful.
Because he gave gifts unto men.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he's all about giving. I mean, this, I share a lot about our children when I get the pulpit and I get the opportunity to preach, because that's the way I see myself, the way I love on my children, the way I want to give to my children, the way I want to just open up. If I had unlimited, in which I know in faith, I can believe and I trust God. We're now, my family are believing for a particular trip that we're standing in faith for, and we're believing we're receiving that in Jesus' name. But I tell you something, my children, when they come to the table, they don't have to ask Dad, can I come to the dinner table and have a plate of food?
Yeah.
No, this is...
What would you do if they did that?
Oh, my goodness. I think I would be like, kid, what's wrong with you?
Actually, Alyssa and asked me, can I have these tortillas? I said, you don't have to ask me to heat up a tortilla.
Yeah. So you know what we eat in our household, okay? So, but the thing is that they are welcome to the table. Greg, they can come at any time. My son, 6'1", 14-year-old, about to be 15-year-old, eats us. I mean, eats the refrigerator. I mean, nothing left after a day. You know, you have two boys.
You have two boys.
But I don't stop them. I don't stop them. Whatever I have is his.
Yes.
Whatever I have belongs to my daughters.
Thank you, Lord.
Exactly. And the Father, he's given us all things richly.
Now, I want to get into, and we're so low on time, so we're going to do Holy Spirit again.
Great.
But I want to get into when you don't know how to pray. There's so many people saying there's water baptism, there's Jesus baptism. Is there a fire baptism? There's a lot of questions concerning this. So we'll do more of this Bible study, because I'm really sensing now more than ever, you need to know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
That's the answer for America.
Yeah. Really. And how to be led.
Yes.
Yes. How to be led.
That's a big one.
You know, somebody had a question. Why are we talking about this right now? There's other things that are, you know, what about about the tribulation?
We had some of those. We got people going through stuff. Why aren't we talking about this?
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. I like what you said.
This is what's missing.
This is what, you know, there's a time when we're going to be taken up.
Yeah. Yes.
We need him now.
We need him now.
Yeah.
More than ever.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus, above all, knows the time that we're living in.
Oh, yes.
So
he even said that in one of the verses.
Yes.
Yeah.
That this is kept in him, but then now I have the Holy Spirit who reveal things to me.
Thank you, Lord.
Want to get into more of this with you, and I want to thank you guys for being. I'm so glad that you're with us.
Thanks for having me.
Under the new covenant, every child of God has the Spirit of God. First, we're born of the Spirit. Then we can be filled with that same Spirit, which we already have in us. There'll be an overflowing of that Spirit. We'll speak with other tongues, that the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. We can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Even the born-again one who's not been filled with the Spirit can be expect to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Being a witness is an evidence of the change that's in you, having the power of God to do His will. In order to receive the Holy Spirit of God, it's not a religious formula. It's a relationship with a person. Ask Him. Ask Him to fill you, like Michelle led us a while ago. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. Just ask Him. Yeah. He will give you His Spirit. Use the phone number. They'll be there all night to pray with you. And I want to thank you for being part of this. Don't forget, special thanks for Kenneth Copeland Bible College, kcbiblecollege.org. You want to be part of that for this weekend. Know this, God loves you. We love you.
Yes.
And
Jesus is Lord.
See you soon.